Good morning. Welcome to Newbury Baptist Church. It's lovely to see you here this morning. Looking forward to worshipping God together. You'll see we've still got some little remnants of the light party around. You'll pass through the balloon arch as you came in, and some lovely colours, and I was tempted to leave one of these in the pulpit and see if you noticed the difference, but decided against it in the end. We had a wonderful time. Everybody kept safe, everybody enjoyed it, and we're very, very grateful for your prayers. It was a good night for all to savour and to enjoy together. Please remember there's a church business meeting after the service this morning. Start at about 11:15. But parents, if you've got children to collect from the groups, please make sure you do that as swiftly as you can. That will help us out this morning. Please remember that next Sunday morning, the service is at 9:30. There won't be any children's groups on that occasion. We'll have a reflective, quiet communion service here for Remembrance Day, and then those who wish to join in with the town act of remembrance can do so in the Market Square at 11. I think most of you will have picked up now on the sad news that on Monday, John Hall died. John served this church in many ways over many years and had not been himself for a long time. But please do pray for Jill and for all the family. The service will be on the 20th of November, the Tuesday, the 20th of November, 1:30 at the crematorium, followed by a Thanksgiving service here at 2:30. But please do pray, as I say, for Jill and for all the family this week. Now, Rowena, Christmas. Come and talk to us about Christmas. Chris, we don't have a microphone here. Oh, it's coming. Look. Just watch this race taking place down the church. Look.
Good morning, everybody. For the past 4 or 5 years, my son Will and I have been helping out at the Community Christmas Day at St George's Hall at Wash Common. And Marina Abraham, who is organising this year, is looking for volunteers. I will read out what she says. Christmas is fast approaching. We are currently requesting for members who are able to join our team of dedicated volunteers in making happen the Christmas Community Day lunch at St George's Church. Events will begin with hall preparation on the 24th of December and lunch on Christmas Day. It's a great opportunity to show the love of Christ by serving those, especially the older and disabled people who would not get the opportunity to spend Christmas with their families and can feel alone or isolated. Work to be done includes prepping hall and vegetables on Christmas Eve, drivers, kitchen help, entertainment and companions on Christmas Day. If you have any time to spare at all, you need to contact Marina. If you speak to me, I'll give you her telephone number and or her email address. It's really rewarding. Will and I love going. And we also need financial donations, however small and however much time you can give. As a large company says, every little helps. Thank you.
Yes, so do please talk to Rowena afterwards if you think you can help in any of the ways that she's described. Let's stand up together, shall we? Ready to worship God. Listen to this description of Jesus. It's simple, and yet it changes everything. This is the description of Jesus. You are to call him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Thank you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. We believe in his name. We have called on the name of Jesus. We are saved. We are saved at his name. The demons are free, for there is no other name that is higher than Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Please sit down and we'll pray together. Father, thank you for that great sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. We can never, ever deserve or earn such a love as this. Father, let our worship flow today from grateful hearts, we pray. Let the voice of God and the presence of Jesus be obvious to all of us here. Come, Holy Spirit of God, we pray. And enable us to worship you as we were created to do. Come here this morning. Make your presence known, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, come and have a look and see what I've got in my box. Although you can't sit down for long, you have to stand up in a minute or two once we've seen what's in here. There's actually two things. Let's have a look and see. Now, an envelope. Will you open that envelope for me? But don't do anything with it, just open it and read me the word that's on it. It's great, the suspense thing, isn't it? It's doing well. Stop. What does it say?
Stop.
Stop. Okay, just hold on to that because we need that in a little bit. And here's the other thing. Let me put that down, pop it out of the way. We're going to make a big blue sea out of this. Now, when we were doing games the other night, we had a big parachute, and Simon over there, come on, Simon, out you come. I'll get him on one end, and we'll get the rest of you all round the edge. So let's get this stretched out, please. This is going to be our sea, and you're going to need to do different things with it. But where's my envelope? You come here with the envelope for a minute, all right? So we're going to have a little practice. So if I were to talk about little tiny waves, let's have some little tiny waves. If I'm going to talk about great big waves, if I'm going to talk about huge, enormous waves, okay, that's that bit. Just stop that for a minute. Now, if I were to talk about, this is where you're coming. If I were to talk about a light breeze, could we hear a light breeze? Yeah, it's very polite light breeze, isn't it? And if I were to talk about the wind getting up a little bit, and if I were to talk about a howling gale, oh, that's wonderful. And of course, see the sea. Now, listen, this is the really important bit. Samuel's got a really important bit here. Listen, this whole story only works if when I say stop, everything stops. All right? So it doesn't matter how big the waves are, or how loud the wind is, or the enormous storm that's blowing. If I were to say the word stop, you're very good at this. That's brilliant. No, we're ready to you can hold on to that. Do you want to join in with them, actually? Do you want to help out with the waves? Okay. So this story takes place on a lovely, calm day. There was just the tiniest ripple on the lake and no sound of wind anywhere to start with. Jesus climbed into a boat with his friends and they started to go across the water. And as they did, there was the slightest little breeze started to blow. And tiny ripples on the lake. And then the breeze turned into really quite a strong wind. Not a gale, but a strong wind. And the waves started to get bigger. And the boat was going up and down and up and down. The wind was getting louder. And it was howling. And it was crashing. And Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. And the wind carried on getting louder and louder, and the waves got bigger, and Jesus woke up, he looked out of the boat, and he says, stop. And just like that, it all stopped. And everybody looked at Jesus with great big open mouths and said, who are you? And they realized quite how powerful he was. Jesus can control the wind and the waves, which actually means that he's got everything else in his hands too. Thank you very much. Can you stuff that back in the box for me? We're going to sing together. Thank you, Dave.
Great. Please do stand.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord. Strong tower. the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Wonderful. Do please sit down. Perhaps those who are going out to the different groups would like to do that now. To hear God say the word stop over the storms in your life and to hear them stop. To know that he does actually have power and that he holds your life in his hand is such a good thing. To know that he's changed everything and that despite our small ambitions and our small little bit of faith, he can change everything completely is a wonderful thing. People have been singing this hymn that we're going to sing together now for generations. They've stood and sung it together, and together they've encouraged each other with what salvation is all about. That God speaks and things change. Let's stand up and sing together, and Can It Be. This Father is a debt we can never pay. This is an act of love which we can never replicate. And yet we bring these small gifts to you, asking that you would accept them as our token of thanks, and that you would use them to contribute to the work and the growth of your eternal kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Nick.
Shall we pray? Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Lord, following All Hallows and Saints Day this past week, we give thanks for all the men and women who've served you faithfully down the years. From the martyrs like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who stood against the tyranny of the Nazis, to those today who stand up as Christians for what they believe in, despite threats against them. Lord, we pray especially for Christians who live in the Middle East, where they're under threat, where they meet in churches today with guards on the door, with soldiers outside, having to protect them from what might happen. We pray especially, Lord, for organisations like the Foundation for Relief and Reconciliation in the Middle East, which works to support churches in Iraq. We pray for Christians, Lord, under threat in Iraq, in Syria, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan. Thinking especially of that woman this week who was charged with blasphemy, who thankfully has been released, but is still under fear of death because of the attitude towards Christians in that country. Let's just have a moment of quietness as we reflect on the lives of Christians elsewhere. Lord, give strength to all your saints, those revered and acknowledged, and those unknown working in some quiet field of faith, doing your will, not expecting any recognition or reward. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, "Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Father, forgive us for neglecting spending time with you in prayer when we know we should do. The consequence of that is we so often fall into temptation and then into sin. Forgive us, Lord, and teach us by your Holy Spirit to be more diligent in prayer for the world, for our country, for our community in Newbury, for our families, and for ourselves. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you." Lord, we thank you for that offer to come to you in prayer, to come before you with our requests, our prayers for needs of the world. And so we do. Today we're looking at those troubled in mind. Lord, those who are afflicted, those who have mental problems. And Lord, we think of those countries which we've seen on our TV screens where children who have mental illness are locked up or chained to beds, out of sight. Lord, we pray for them and we pray for those who care for them, that they will be kind. And we pray for aid agencies trying to encourage governments to respect and help the needs of those who suffer in this way. And Father, we pray for all those suffering with mental illness in this country of ours, especially those who are homeless on our streets or maybe alone at home with no one to offer support to them. Lord, may we as a society not shy away from our responsibilities and the challenges we face of helping, comforting and supporting such people. Give wisdom too, Lord, to doctors, nurses, psychologists, and all practitioners working in fields of mental health, that they would be inspired and gifted in providing relief for these suffering souls. And finally, Father, we pray for those in our church who are struggling with mental health issues, for those known to us and those unknown. Lord, may we as a church family be guided and enabled by your Spirit to do what we can to love and understand these folk and to help them in the conditions that they face. Lord, we ask all these prayers in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Right, please do stand as we continue worshiping together.
Salvation belongs to our Lord.
Fathom The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. Entitled, Jesus Restores a Demon-Possessed Man. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him any more, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. A short prayer together. Oh, Father God, we thank you for this, your word, and we thank you now for your servant Richard. Thank you that you have given him the words that you want to share with us this morning. Will you help us now to hear, to understand, and to respond? Amen.
The boat nosed into the reeds at the water's edge with a gentle swish. Jesus and the others climbed out, their feet splashing in the water and the shingle crunching underfoot. At once the air was shattered with a tortured animal cry. The wild man stumbled out from among the tombs, broken chains swaying from side to side, their sharp edges slapping on his raw, wounded side. His eyes were bloodshot, his body caked with his own filth. The stench was appalling. "What do you want with me, Jesus?" he slurred. His voice was distorted and ugly, as if somehow strangled on the way out. Jesus' voice was calm, interested, looking at the twisted, broken man at his feet. He asked him his name. It was a long time since anyone had done that. So long, in fact, that the voices inside shouted him down and all came tumbling out of his mouth like angry hornets released into the air. "Legion," they said, and began to plead for themselves. Jesus' reply, when it came, was all quiet and authority. The kind of voice to make a world or calm a storm. One word from him, and all hell broke loose. It started with a restlessness in the herd of pigs up beyond the gravestones that began to grunt and squeal, churning up the dusty ground and sending clouds of dust into the air in their agitation. Then it came like things possessed. They thundered down the hill to its edge over the water. As if pursued by some invisible hunter, they threw themselves into the water below. One, two, hundreds, all driven on by some madness. The water itself seemed to boil and foam as they thrashed and kicked and eventually sank out of sight. Then all was quiet and the waters settled back. And so the wild man himself seemed to deflate. The anger and agitation were gone. From somewhere in the crowd, a simple robe appeared, and he slipped it on like a man who'd never forgotten how to dress. Smoothing it over his generous muscles, he sat and gazed up at Jesus, drinking in the very sight of his face. A delicious peace descended on the lake again. Birds sang. Water lapped on the shore once more. See, hearing and living that story, I want to remind you again of the scope, but also the consequences of salvation. Think for a moment about the scope, about how broad and how deep it goes. I was talking on Monday at the evangelism course about a YouGov survey taken in 2015. And one of the things that revealed was that over half the population believe in God or something like him. The something like him half of that is something I've been encountering again and again in the comments coming back again from that radio program. Here's someone called Steve. I'm a secular sort of a guy, and my concept of God, inverted commas, if any, is more abstract than most people's. I fall into the free thinker category, I suppose. God, whatever the concept, moves in mysterious ways. Regards, Steve. And one of the things about living in a very tolerant spiritual atmosphere, which we do, is that actually we have a very anodyne view of spirituality. You know, faith and religion tend to be thought of as a set of principles in our heads or a set of feelings in our hearts, rather than us realizing that actually it goes far deeper than that and it's far more fundamental than that. If we, as the disciples of Jesus, have allowed ourselves to think of faith that way, that it's just a set of things in our heads and a set of feelings in our hearts, then we need to read the Gospels again. We need to hear the squeal of the pigs as they thunder headlong into the water. We need to hear the contented sigh of the man as he breathes for the first time in a long time. We have to hear the angry mutter of the crowd as they come face to face with religious trickery of a kind they've never seen before. We need to hear the gasp as a woman sees her son rise from his funeral bier at the touch of Christ's hand. We need to hear the astonishment of the crowd as the blind beggar Bartimaeus tosses his stick to one side and walks and then runs free for the first time ever. In sharing the gospel, we are sharing the most powerful force on earth, and it will not stop at putting people's minds at ease. When we share it, old demonic influences may rise to the surface like a splinter buried deep under the skin. Habits of selfishness and self-destruction may be threatened with all manner of consequences. Unnamed fears may demand an audience so that they can be heard or silenced once and for all. Have we forgotten, I wonder, that the gospel is about much more than just getting off the hook when we die? It's about utterly transforming people. This man in the story had his life completely and utterly changed by Christ. And I've often thought it sounds a little bit cruel when Jesus says, no, you can't come with me, when he tries to climb into the boat. But there's good reason for it. He says, no, you need to go away and show off what has happened to you. You need to go away and let people see the power of the gospel in your life. Have you ever stopped to imagine what happened after the boat have gone? Have you ever stopped to imagine that man walking back into his home village and mothers hiding their children behind their skirts because the madman was coming? And eventually, perhaps, a door opening into a home that once was his. And people seeing him clean and upright and able to hold a conversation. In fact, come to that, I wonder what his first conversation would have been. This story is a reminder about the scope of salvation. It's not just about cancelling the debt of our sins, which is wonderful, but it's about transforming people utterly and completely. So let's not bandy it around like it's some, you know, quaint piece of pop psychology or wisdom off a calendar. It's the stuff that transforms lives. That's the scope of the gospel. But, you know, that means that there are consequences to it as well. When I got baptized at the age of 16, somebody warned me and said, you know, Monday's going to be awful. I don't know if any of you had that advice. You know, when you get baptized, someone said to me, look, you know, Monday is going to be terrible because you stood up and the devil won't like it and you'll come under attack. I never experienced that, actually. Never particularly found that to be the case. But when people do embrace Jesus, when they do take him on and their lives do change, as happens in this story, do we ever pray for the consequences that are going to happen to them? Because if they really do it and they really mean it, then all kinds of people are going to get upset. And all sorts of apple carts are going to get turned over and the apples will go running in all directions. Do we pray for that? I wonder for the consequences. There's a lovely story from Canada of a pastor and an evangelist going away together on holiday to hunt bear. And they get to this cabin in the woods, and there's, you know, snow piled up against the door. And they go in, and the pastor, God bless him, starts stoking a fire. You know, and he's building a fire. It's all starting to get quite warm and cozy. Doesn't even notice that the evangelist has already disappeared outside. After a few minutes, the door flings open with this great howling gale. In comes a wounded bear. The evangelist slams the door shut behind him and shouts through the window, "I caught him, you deal with him." Oh, I know how that feels. Sometimes we're so relieved to get someone, as it were, over the line to saying, yes, I will embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, that we don't stop to think about the consequences for their lives of doing that. And so perhaps a husband comes to Jesus and he gives him his heart and he goes home to a wife who has no time for religion of any kind, and the household becomes a difficult one. A middle manager comes to Christ, embraces his teachings on being salt and light, and finds that their relationship with rules and honesty and company policy is going to have to change. Or a teenager embraces the gospel and finds that there are things she cannot join in with anymore. You know, this man is wonderfully transformed. Look at the description of him in verse 15. He's sitting there in his right mind, like people had never seen him before. But oddly, the sight of that transformation terrifies people. Those who'd seen it told the people what had happened, verse 16, and told them about the pigs, and a ripple spread out from that conversation with the one individual to the people round about, to the people further away, and it ends up with them pleading with Jesus to leave. These people end up standing there, despite the fact the man has been healed. He said, please, will you get out of our lives? We can't take this. There are too many consequences. Friends, have we forgotten that the teaching of Jesus is radical and that he doesn't just say, come to me and I will save you? He says, come to me and I will save you. And a heck of a lot of dominoes are going to fall when that happens. And things will change. Have we forgotten that coming to Jesus is a one-way ticket to heaven, but with very limited cabin baggage? And there's stuff you'll have to leave. Listen to the words of Jesus. No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Or again, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Or again, anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. This is the claim of Christ to anyone who would be his disciple. And we need to warn people about it, even as we are sharing the gospel with them, because it will affect them and the people in their immediate circle and their family and their friends. Because these people who come to Jesus will end up dropping things which once they held dear. They'll end up holding things close which once they would have dropped. Their heart will beat to a different rhythm. Their feet will march to a different tune. For them, there will be changed priorities ahead, as the road sign says. And some people in their lives will not like it one bit. And it'll all become very uncomfortable. And so the words of Christ about bringing a sword which will divide even within families will end up coming true. Now, don't get me wrong, if the love of God has been put across sufficiently strongly, those people are going to look at those consequences and say, yeah, well, I'll do it anyway. But the consequences will still come. We need to be aware of the scope of the gospel to change lives utterly. We need to be aware of the consequences of the gospel, that when people embrace it, things are going to get complicated for them. And we need to stand alongside them. Last Sunday evening, there was a gathering for Christians from across the town, all sorts of different churches, praying together. And as we came towards the end of the evening, Mark, who'd been chairing that gathering, talked about the Great Awakening in 1849, when there was just that people started waking up to the power of the gospel up and down the country and things happened. And then he talked about the Welsh Revival in 1904 and the effect that that had on people right across the principality. And then he talked about the Hebridean Revival in 1949 and the incredible things that were going on during that. And then he said, well, isn't it time for it to happen again? Well, yes, it is. But please bear in mind that the consequences will be huge. And heaven will erupt with joy when people come to faith. But on earth, the pieces will fall differently and lives will be affected. Be aware of the scope of the gospel to change. Be aware of the consequences that come from that. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, and save people here, we pray. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the power of the gospel to change us. Help us to grasp it, to understand it, and to go on sharing it boldly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Please do stand.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but sun forbear to shine. The God who would call me here below shall be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
Close with the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.